Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Anabaptist Perspectives exclusive partner podcast, where we answer audience questions and give you all bonus content. So today's going to be a bit of a fun one. We're here in Tennessee with Marlon Summers and Jaron Miller, all in person in our little studio here, which is great. We often work remote, but it's always good to come in here and do some of these episodes. And today is a little different because we released a audience survey for those of you that support us through the Partners program or over on Patreon. And thanks to all of you who responded. We were quite pleased with the number of responses we got. We really appreciate that. And I just wanted to read a quick one here from Darren, who left this comment for us. He said, thanks for the good work you do. Keep it up. I was contributing through the website, but switched to Patreon as I was not getting or else missing the notification of new content. So thanks for notifying us of that, Darren. We'll try to get that fixed. Would you consider releasing some of the bonus content to the public at some point? Your last interview with Chester Weaver, we did a series of episodes with him when he was down here last, had a few points that I'd like to share with a friend, and he's not signed up. I find a lot of value in the episodes, which help us to build a bigger picture showing how we got here. So, Jaron, did you want to comment on what Darren has
here? Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, first of all, thank you, Darren, for the feedback. We're glad for that. And we're also glad to hear that something that we published would be useful to your friend, and we would like him to be able to have access to that if it would be useful to him. So, yes, please do, of course, share it with him. And yeah, everybody who is in our partner program or subscribed on Patreon is welcome to share the things that we publish. I guess we'd kind of prefer if you wouldn't just publish it to the world, post it on your Facebook feed or something like that, but sharing stuff with individuals is great. We're glad if you're able to do that. When we publish videos, of course, sharing would be quite straightforward. Just share the link on YouTube, even if the video isn't listed there. But with the podcast, I guess that would be a bit more complicated in technical terms. So there's not a very straightforward way at this point to download the MP3 files, but we plan to work on that and find a solution to make downloading and sharing those files more straightforward.
Yeah, so thanks again for that comment there, Darren. We'll try to implement something to make it a little easier to share these. And looking forward to that because, yeah, like we want these to be helpful to people. And if it's something that can be shared around and help someone out, we're glad for that. Okay, so if there are other of you listeners that haven't filled out the survey and you would like to give your feedback, we would love to hear from you. There'll be a link to that in the description of this podcast. And so without further ado, though, I think we're going to jump into another topic here. We got an interesting comment from one of the Q&A episodes we did, which you can find up on our main podcast feed or on our YouTube channel. It's called, what was it, Wicked Christians? Or
I think it says Wicked Christians on the thumbnail, but I forget the actual name of the episode.
Okay, so yeah, thumbnail says Wicked Christians. I forget, when you can pull it up there, Jaron, and let us know. But yeah, that was a fun episode responding to audience questions. And Paul had this comment for us here. So Paul says this: "The problem is that if medieval Westerners were Anabaptists, we would all be Muslims. Do you like this outcome, or do you recognize a problem in your ideology?" So yeah, interesting question there. And yeah, could you all help me unpack a bit? What is he referring to here? What's he getting at? And what would you say to this question?
Yeah, so at the time of the Reformation, when the Anabaptist movement was emerging in the 1500s, that also very much lines up with, you know, a lot of conflict between Europeans and various Islamic forces on different fronts. There's long-term conflict in Spain. That may have been just a little bit earlier in Spain, but also conflict with Asians on the other side from the eastern side of Europe. And of course, the Anabaptists famously were not willing to fight against the Muslims. So I take it What Paul is saying here is, well, if Europeans were all Anabaptists and not willing to fight off the Muslims, Europe would now look like North Africa. Because, you know, that is a striking historical fact. North Africa was like an early center of Christianity. Augustine, various other, you know, even earlier church fathers coming from North Africa. And if you look at North Africa now, you certainly don't think Christianity. You think of completely Islamically dominated. Yeah, Jaron or Reagan, is that how you understand the question? Is that the kind of the intent that's like, well, if Europeans were non-resistant, like Anabaptists say, Europe would look like North Africa and people of European descent would all be Islamic?
I'm not super conversant in the particulars of that history, but in general, that's what I understood him to be communicating.
Yeah, and he's actually getting to an interesting point of history. In fact, there's a book, I'm trying to look it up here. I think it's called The Lost History of Christianity. Yeah, by Philip Jenkins, which I listened to in audio. And I've done some other research on this as well, but basically how there was an enormous amount of churches and Christian influence in places like Iraq, Syria, and so forth. And it was the Islamic conquests in, I'm going to say it was the 800s, 900s, something like that, that really drove that into the underground. And to the point now, like present day Iraq, you know, is extremely few Christians compared to even, you know, 200 years ago. That is kind of a reality. And there's a lot of historical factors involved there that, you know, I'm not a historian, so I don't know all the details. But I can see what Paul is saying. It is something that has happened where the church was strongly persecuted or driven out of certain areas by various, you know, Islamic conquests throughout history. So, which actually, before we go further in on this, just to bring this home a bit, Dean Taylor has a session that he teaches on some of the history around this time with the Ottoman Empire and some of these conquests that were being done into what would now be Austria and Hungary. And in 1605, there were some around 240 Hutterites were captured by the Turkish army and hauled off into slavery. And there's actually still some Hutterite family names in modern day Turkey today, if I understand correctly. And Dean Taylor has a lot more research on that. But like that kind of brings it home where this was a group that says, we're not going to fight. And there's a whole story about that where we won't fight. And as a result, they were captured and hauled off. And like, there are some really sad things that happened there. So, and all that to say, you know, it sounds like Paul is referring to these kinds of things, these parts of history. So Marlon, how would you respond to this question now that we've laid a bit of a backdrop, a very quick backdrop, mind you, but yeah, what would you say?
Yeah, well, I got several responses. First of all, quick question. Is that resource from Dean Taylor available online, or is that just something you've talked about in person?
It was a session shared at a conference, and I know he has like some PowerPoints, and there's been some stuff published on it. I don't have exact references, but I'm hoping to get those, because I think that's a story that needs told. But yeah, that's a different topic for maybe another episode. So.
Yeah, good. And so in one way, the most fundamental response there is, you know, following Jesus' teaching about how to relate to enemies, empires, and things like that, that is based on faith and confidence in Jesus, and with the recognition that does often bring suffering. We're not looking for a strictly pragmatic justification, because it's based on confidence in God. At the same time, we would do very well to look at a wider angle. I don't think the conclusion is correct that if Europe, you know, would have been populated entirely by non-resistant Christians, and that's a far-fetched counterfactual because most people don't embrace non-resistance, but I don't think we can say if Europe in 1500 was populated entirely by non-resistant Christians, all those people would have become Islamic. And just several points there. I mean, it's worth noting that if Europe had been populated by non-resistant Christians a few centuries before 1500, you would not have all of the bad blood of the Crusades to really inspire the animosity. But even beyond that, if we look at what actually happened in when, you know, people who embraced Islam took over areas where there were a lot of Christians living, the Christians were definitely subjugated across those areas, but they weren't annihilated. There were extra taxes, there were restrictions on what they could do, and so on, and it varied very much from place to place and era to era, but there's Christian communities, something we don't think about, that have survived for centuries and right up to the present day in those areas that we think of as, you know, from a superficial sense, oh, those are Islamic areas. Some of those Christian communities have become rather ingrown, and it's maybe sometimes a very nominal faith, but there's definitely Christianity there. So it's just not true on a historical level that everybody in areas ruled by Muslims became a Muslim. And I don't think that would have happened in Europe. Even there, Reagan, you mentioned like in Iraq and less Christians there than there used to be in the traditional population. But a lot of that is very recent. In fact, a lot of that is after the Iraq wars when the U.S., you know, supposedly a Christian nation, went into the region. Not even a direct result of Islamic control as much as what happened with things being destabilized by so-called Christian militaries more recently. But then, you know, let's just think imaginatively there. So the fact is not everybody does embrace non-resistance, but I mean, okay, what would this have looked like if you had literally an entire continent populated by people who trusted God and took his instructions for how to relate to enemies, and then here comes an empire? Well, okay, they would have submitted to being ruled by this foreign empire, because that's what how God tells us to respond to those kinds of things, rather than with violence. I'm sure that there would have been some level of persecution. I'm sure some of them would have died, and I'm sure that, you know, some of their children would have seen advantages to lining up with the ruling class and converting. But I don't see any reason to think that, like, the entire continent would have been annihilated or that the entire continent would have converted to Islam. Not to mention just when people really just, you know, put themselves on the line, take Jesus seriously, there's all kinds of ways in which God intervenes in surprising ways. My wife has just been reading stories to our children from the book Coals of Fire by Elizabeth Baumann. And yeah, just incredible stories in there about how God used that commitment to nonviolence sometimes to protect people that if they would have, you know, tried to use the arm of the flesh, would probably have died. God doesn't always do that. Sometimes he allows his children to be killed. But other times, there's actually more protection in God's ways. I think about that when Jesus said, you know, the one that takes the sword will perish by the sword. And I think that's partly just a pragmatic observation about life. You get into fights, you're eventually going to lose one. I mean, that's just how it works.
Yeah, that's some really good points, because a lot of this is just kind of what ifs. Like, there's a lot of assumptions that Paul is making here about what would have happened that we don't actually know. Like, would that actually have been the case? Like, maybe, I kind of like your point, like, if the whole continent was taking Jesus seriously and you know, and living this way, like, how different would have that been? That actually sounds kind of exciting, you know? You know what I mean? Yeah, Jaron, do you have any thoughts on what Marlon shared?
Nothing to add except very well put.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and back to your point, I had mentioned Iraq at the beginning of this episode, and then you followed up on that, because there is a lot more to that story. It's not so clear cut that says, oh, the Muslims came in and therefore the church vanished, and like there's more going on there, and it is important to note, you know, that's some of the oldest churches in the world, or depending on who you ask, the oldest churches still in existence that have like continued to now, to the present day, and I've been there to some of them, and it's pretty incredible. But yeah, it actually has been other things that caused downfalls in that church beyond just a, you know, military conquest. And so I think just to say, oh, a military conquest is what's going to destroy a church, is overly simplistic. And even so, that I don't know if that's a good excuse to say, well, therefore we shouldn't follow what Jesus is teaching. At least like that, from our view, this is what Jesus is teaching. So for us to be like, well, but you know, it won't stand up to this, therefore we shouldn't do it. That doesn't seem like a very complete understanding. So yeah, and this is good things to think about. Well, Paul, thanks for leaving that comment. We appreciate that. And hopefully you have the chance to listen to this. And thanks everyone else for listening too, for submitting your thoughts and ideas. We read your comments. We read your emails. And when you reach out to us, we really appreciate that and love to hear your feedback. So if there's something you would like to hear us cover in a future episode, feel free to let us know and we'll try and do that. So thank you for supporting what we're doing here at Anabaptist Perspectives. And we'll catch you in the next episode.